I'll ask you now, if you will, please turn with me in your Bible to a couple of passages. First of all, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Okay, we're working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. Last week we began what we often call the Lord's Prayer. And this morning we're going to consider together what we might call our daily bread. So our main text, our primary text this morning, very short, it's just one verse. Our primary passage this morning is Luke chapter 11, verse 3, but I am going to begin reading back at verse 1. Let's hear God's word together. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread." Now, that'll be our main passage this morning, but I'll ask you, if you will, keep that place marked and turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. Obviously, our main text this morning is so very brief. It's just one little verse, and so I'm going to be reading portions from John chapter 6. I trust you'll follow along with me. I'll begin with verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Okay, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they'd eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Verse 32. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 47. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as you fed the 5,000, as you fed the people in the synagogue there in Capernaum, so we ask, feed us well, nourish us, strengthen us, grant us that nourishment, that spiritual food, that we might have the life that we need. We might have the strength we need to live for you and serve you all our days. Bless your word to us, we pray, and feed us. Again, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, we're talking about how to pray. Okay? Or maybe to put a little more accurately, we could say we're learning together how to pray. As a church family, as a congregation, we're learning together how better to pray. We saw last week that a disciple came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so in response, Jesus gave what we often call the Lord's Prayer. He gave a very, very brief, very concise prayer. And we mentioned last week that what we call the Lord's Prayer is actually found in a couple of places. Obviously, Jesus gave this in more than one situation, more than one occasion. And what we normally think of as the Lord's Prayer is really based more on the larger version found in Matthew. The version here in Luke is even more brief. It's incredibly concise as prayers go. It's a very, very brief prayer, and yet it contains these amazing principles of prayer. And so you can say that as a congregation, we're learning together how to pray. As a church family, we're learning together how better to pray. Or you could say even better, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. As we come to his word together, and as particular, as we're working through what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching his people. He's teaching you. He's teaching all of us how better to pray. Okay, we saw last week that when you pray, you should seek the glory of your Heavenly Father. Okay? If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're believing on the Lord Jesus, if you're trusting in his death and resurrection for your salvation, that means that your sin has been paid for. Right? Jesus died on the cross in our place as a substitute to pay for our sin. And if you're trusting in Jesus for that, for your salvation, then you've been forgiven, you've been pardoned, and you've been brought in to the family of God. Okay, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you're a child of God. You've been brought into the family, and that means God is your Heavenly Father. And so the Lord wants you to address him that way. He wants you to think of him as a loving Heavenly Father, not just as some distant being, but he wants you to address him as your Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. And when you pray, we learned last week, you should seek the glory of the Father. You know, our old nature, we naturally seek our own glory. We want attention. You want people to respect you or look up for you. You want people to admire you. You want credit. We naturally seek our own glory. But to pray the Lord's Prayer, that is to pray at all, to pray properly, is to forget yourself. We saw it's a radical act of sort of self-renunciation, self-forgetfulness. You say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, I'm just forgetting myself. It's not about me. It's not about what people think of me. But I want people to think well of God. I want people to know about God. I want people to love God. Forget me. Forget my reputation. I'm concerned about the glory of God. I want people to know he's a great loving Father. I want them to revere him and trust him and bless him and love his name. To pray the Lord's Prayer, or really to pray at all, to pray truly, is to forget yourself. It's an act of self-forgetfulness. And to seek the glory and the praise of the Father. You know, we've said before that to humble yourself doesn't necessarily mean to think less of yourself. Oh, I'm a terrible person. I'm just a worm. But to humble yourself is often just means to think of yourself less. You know, this just isn't about you. It's not about me. Life is about the Father and His glory and the coming of His kingdom. So the Lord's Prayer is radically God-centered. All of us can be very self-centered. We know that. We can know all about me, and I have my plans for the day, and here's my ideas about how I think things can be done. We can all be radically self-centered. But even when we're not self-centered, we tend to be man-centered. That is, we tend to think very horizontally. Maybe I'm not seeking my glory. Maybe I'm seeking your glory or our glory or her glory. Maybe I'm not insisting on my way, but maybe I'm a people pleaser and I'm trying to do things your way or I'm thinking about our kingdom. You know, even when we're not being selfish, we still tend to be man-centered. The Lord's Prayer is radically God-centered. It's not seeking my glory or your glory or our glory, but His glory. And it's not my kingdom or your kingdom or her kingdom or... but His kingdom. So to pray to God is a radical act of God-centeredness. It's stepping into reality. We tend to live in our own little world. We're sort of the center of the world. And we think about ourselves. God is. He is the center of reality. He is the creator. He's the maker. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so to pray is to bring ourselves into reality, into conformity with the way things are, and to seek God's glory and the coming of His kingdom. But that doesn't mean that you can never pray for something for yourself. Even though the world is God-centered, and we do need to renounce ourselves and our own way and our own plan, and we need to seek God's glory and His kingdom and His way. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but yours be done. I must decrease, you must increase. Even though we're turning to this radically God-centered way of looking at life, it doesn't mean you can never pray for something for yourself. In fact, we see in our text this morning, Jesus says that when you pray, you should ask for what you need. Okay? Again, our primary text this morning is Luke chapter 11. We're in verse 3. Jesus says, when you pray, you say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, bread was the sort of the staple of the Middle Eastern diet. Kind of like for centuries in the Far East, for centuries, you know, people lived off of rice. I mean, it's still true today in many places in the Far East that rice is the staple of the diet, but certainly for centuries, people survived primarily off of rice. You think of a culture like, I can say that, I'm part Italian, I can say that. You think of Italian food, you think of pasta. Pasta is often a staple of Italian food. I grew up in the South, I ate a lot of grits. Okay, that was kind of a staple. Well, my mom was a wonderful cook. Every night she would fix these huge Southern meals. We would have fried food 3 or 4 times a week. And even when it wasn't fried food, it was a big meal. I mean, my mom fixed these huge meals every night, and everyone came. We all sat around the table together. We ate together. You never took your food, went to your bedroom, or went on. We always ate together, and it was always a huge, big Southern meal. But breakfast was not like that. Breakfast was different. Supper at night was a big feast. It was comfort food. It was delicious. Breakfast was very different. My mom and dad both worked full time, and so for my mom, breakfast had to be something quick. It had to be something easy. It had to be something she could make without even thinking about it. And so she would get on a kick. That's what we called it as kids. She'd get on a kick, and she would have the same thing for breakfast every morning for months. For months. And I remember one time in particular, it was grits. And every morning she's in a hurry. She's got to get to work. She put on a pot of grits. And it wasn't grits and eggs or grits and bacon or grits and eggs. It was just grits, okay? Because for breakfast, that was just something to put in your stomach. That's all it was. At night, we had a big meal. We sat around together and we talked and we breakfast was different. That was just something to stick to your ribs, to give you some strength so you could go to school, so they could go to work. You know, that's the way people thought of bread. Their staple of their diet wasn't rice, it wasn't pasta, it was bread, and that's what they ate every day. That was the basis of their diet. Now, they might have a fig on the side to go with it, or a date, or they might have olive oil to dip the bread into, or sometimes they might have a piece of fish, and on special occasions they might have stew, they might have goat meat, or even lamb. I mean, we know that like at the Passover, for example, they would have lamb, but you always had bread. And that was the main dish. Even when you had nothing else, you had bread. We think of bread as something on the side. Right? You can have spaghetti, got to have some bread. Okay? Or you go to a restaurant, bread is what they give you until the real food comes. You know, when I remember we would go to the restaurant when I was a kid and my mom said, don't fill up on bread. You know, don't forget we got a meal coming. Mom would say, don't fill up on bread. Okay, in the ancient world, they would say, better fill up on bread. That's all we're going to eat. That's all we're going to have. Bread was the staple of the diet. That's what you ate. And so it's very striking. When Jesus is teaching us to pray, he says, you pray, give us each day our daily bread. Bread? They had bread. They ate bread. I mean, they didn't all die of starvation. They had bread. Why would you ask for bread? That's what they already had. You would think they would say, pray for some stew, at least a little fish. Pray for something different. Instead, Jesus is teaching them essentially to pray for what they already had. And he's teaching us here, don't just pray for what you want. Okay? Now, it's not wrong to pray for what you want. In our call to worship this morning, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For whoever asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. And we didn't read this part, but in Matthew it goes on. Jesus says, listen, if your son comes to you and asks for fish or he asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a rock. You're not going to give him a snake. You know how to give good things to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? And what Jesus is saying is, ask God for good things. That's not wrong. You have many good things in your life. You shouldn't be embarrassed of that. You shouldn't feel guilty if God's blessed you with good things. Enjoy them and thank God for these things. And if there's certain things that you don't have, you can feel free to ask. It's not wrong to ask for good things. You don't give your children just those absolute bare necessities they must have. You also give them things that they want. God is your heavenly Father. He often gives us good things just because we want them. So it's not wrong to ask for good things. You know, you're going shopping, you pray for a good parking spot. I mean, I ask and pray for things all the time. And other times, though, you've been worried about something, or you've been thinking of something, or you're daydreaming about something. And sometimes months pass or years pass, and you think, I never prayed for that. I never thought to pray about it. Jesus wants you to pray. When he says ask, seek, knock, he's encouraging you to pray. It's not wrong to pray for something you want. He's encouraging you to pray. But here he says, in effect, don't just pray for what you want. Also pray for what you need. Because our tendency, I think, is we take certain things for granted. Because God does give us what we need. In the Psalms, David says, I've never seen a righteous man begging for bread. God does that. He gives us what we need. And so we tend to take those things for granted, and then we focus on what we don't have. Well, I wish I could have some stew. We tend to focus, we take our things for granted that we have, and we focus on what we don't have. Not wrong to pray for things that we don't have, but here Jesus is essentially instructing the people to pray for what they had. I mean, they had bread. They ate bread all the time. Maybe they had to go to the market and buy the bread. Or maybe they would buy the flour and then they would have to bake the bread. Or maybe they were farmers and they would grow the wheat with which they make the bread. I think this is a reminder that whether you're paying for it or not, or you're making it yourself, or you're baking it, or you're growing it, it's still a gift from God. It's still a gift from God. Your ability to work, your ability to buy things, your ability to pay, your ability to make, all these things are gifts from God. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer reminds us that God's our Heavenly Father. Right? We talked about that. It's so easy to have wrong ideas of God, thinking God is mad at me, thinking God's angry at me, thinking God doesn't care about me. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer reminds us God is our Heavenly Father. Well, if God is our Heavenly Father, then this petition reminds us we're His little children. We're His little children. And every good thing that we have is a gift from God. James says every good thing is a gift, comes from him who is above. You know, it's not like, well, I've made a living, I'm a self-made man, I've pulled myself up from my own bootstraps. No, everything you have is a gift. And so this petition is reminding us, we're just children. And maybe you work very hard, but everything you have is a gift from God. And God is your Father, and He loves you. And just to pray, give us each day our daily bread, is to help us remember how good God is and how he always gives you what you need. He doesn't always give you what you want. There's no guarantee you're going to get everything you want, but he always gives you what you need. And so I think the encouragement here is don't just pray for what you want, but remember those basics. Remember the most important things and pray for what you need. And notice that it's plural here. Give us each day our daily bread. If you're focusing on all the things you don't have, and that's what you're praying, there's not much room for anything else, and you can be very self-centered about it, thinking all about things I don't have in life. But if you're just focusing on the basic things you need, there's a lot more room in your heart and in your prayers to pray for other people. And so there's something kind of communal about this prayer. We're praying for each other. Lord, give us what we need. There's encouragement here to pray for one another. God wants us to come to him with our request. He wants us to come to him believing and asking for the things we need. Okay, for that day, it's very striking. Jesus, in teaching us to pray, says, you say this, give us each day our daily bread. There's all kind of debates about what the word daily means, because this is actually the only place in the Bible that particular word is used. But you get the idea. What he's saying is that God wants us to practice daily dependence upon him. It's not like, boy, one day I'll outgrow my need of God. One day I'll be so successful and I won't have to. Because I think that's a temptation, isn't it? Why do people want to win the lottery? Probably a lot of reasons for that. And I'm not recommending you play the lottery. But all of us, you at least daydream about what I would do if you had that much money. And I think one of the appeals is, I'd never have to worry about money again. Well, you know, it's not wrong if you're wealthy. It's not wrong if you're able to save up. Certainly, you should try to plan and prepare for the future. Proverbs says a wise man sees danger coming and he prepares for it. It's not wrong to save up and plan for retirement or whatever. But God wants you to live in daily dependence upon him. You remember, what is it? Isn't it Solomon who says, don't give me so little that I'm tempted to steal, but don't give me so much, Lord, that I might forget about you. God wants us to live in daily dependence upon him, no matter how much you might have. I mean, these people had bread. But in the act of prayer, you're remembering that's a gift from God. That's God who's giving that to us. And we need to live in daily dependence upon him. Well, I think in a sense, we could stop there. I mean, it's a short passage, right? It's one verse. It's seven or eight words in the English. But if you're going to look at this as part of the Lord's Prayer, there's a couple of other things that stand out. First of all, what a blessing that Jesus gives us this encouragement to pray for ourselves. Because if all we had was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you might wonder, is it okay for me to pray for myself? I mean, is that unspiritual? I've got this big problem going on at work. Is that wrong? You know, I don't feel well. Is that wrong? What a blessing that here we have an encouragement that it's not wrong to pray for yourself. Even though God is the center of all things and it's his glory that matters and it's his kingdom and God wants us to be radically God-centered, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. What a blessing that Jesus includes this in the Lord's Prayer, that it is not wrong. In fact, Jesus encourages you to pray for yourself. I think sometimes we get in a situation where we feel like, well, I've asked for enough. You know, and with people, that's true. With people, you need to be sensitive that you don't ask for too much for people. That's not possible to do that with God. It's not like, I'm sorry, you've passed your limit, you can't pray anymore this week. You know, God invites and encourages you just to bring your cares and your needs and concerns. And how much more clearly could he say it? Ask, seek, knock. Jesus invites you and encourages you to pray. God the Father loves to hear your prayer. And I think it's such an encouragement that Jesus would include this in the Lord's Prayer to say, hey, it's not wrong. No shame in that. He wants you to pray for yourself. And yet, if we think about the Lord's Prayer as a whole, or at least how much we've looked at so far, we'll look at the version here in Luke. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. It's not as if you're saying, oh, Father, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. May your name be loved and treasured. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not as if you're praying that and then you say, okay, enough about that. Let's talk about me. Okay? Of course, that's not what it means. It's not like suddenly we're abandoning God and now we're going to talk about me. Of course not. Certainly, if you're saying, Father, hallowed be thy name, it's because you want that. Right? You want God's name to be revered and respected. You want God to be praised. You want people to know God and love God as their Heavenly Father. If you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, certainly, isn't it because you want that to happen? And so then when you say, Lord, give us our daily bread, give us what we need, doesn't that at least in part mean, Lord, give us what we need so that we can honor you as our Father? I mean, if you just prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then you're going to ask for your bread, what you need, isn't at least part of that, Lord, please grant me what I need so that I can glorify your name, so I can praise you? Likewise, if you're going to say, your kingdom come, your will be done, and then you say, Lord, please give me what I need, isn't that at least part, Lord, give me what I need to help advance your kingdom today? I've obviously experienced many prayer meetings over the years, and I think one thing that you can say in every church, everywhere where God's people gather, people pray about their health. And that's good. We should pray for one another. Sometimes I think there's nothing worse than feeling sick and being weak and feeling helpless like that, and it can affect your spiritual life. And so we should pray for our health, and we should pray for each other's health. But don't stop there. You know, maybe you're waiting for some medical results and, Lord, please, I'm praying for good results. But if you really want to see God's name honored, shouldn't you also say, Lord, and if the results aren't good, please grant me the grace to honor your name anyway? I mean, isn't that where the rubber meets the road? God is not the weak link in the chain. You know, I think the temptation is we pray about other people. I pray that she'll finally turn her life around. I pray that he'll listen to me and come to know the Lord. And I pray that this meeting will go well. And I pray that I can get all these things done. And we're always praying for these circumstances. Those things are safe in God's hand. God is not the weak link in the chain. It's not wrong to pray for those things. We should pray for those things. But the Bible tells us, okay, sometimes life's hard. And if we're just praying, Lord, may today be an easy day. If that's all you pray every day, may things go smoothly, the Bible tells you you're going to be disappointed a lot because a lot of times life is hard. And therefore, don't just pray that today be easy. Pray that God gives you strength to handle a tough day. Pray that, Lord, I want to hear good news and good results, but please grant me the grace I need to honor you even if I don't get the results I want. Lord, I'm praying this person would listen to me and come to know Jesus, but help me to trust you and advance your kingdom even if this person doesn't respond right away. Lord, even if things don't go my way, even if my plans get all turned upside down and I get interrupted and sidetracked, and please, Lord, grant me the grace I need to honor you no matter what. I have found over the years more and more that's what I need to pray about. You know, God has the world in his hands. I'm the weak link. And I think we're encouraged here to pray. Lord, give me what I need. Give me the strength I need to honor you no matter what. Give me the strength to advance your kingdom no matter what. And that then brings us to our text in John chapter 6. If you want to turn with me there really briefly, we won't go through all of it. It's a familiar text, of course. Jesus and his disciples get into the boat. They go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, presumably to get alone so that Jesus can spend time with his disciples. But the crowds hear where Jesus is gone, and so they go by land. They go all the way around to find Jesus. They've got sicknesses. They've got diseases. My son's possessed by a demon, whatever. And so they're so eager. They follow Jesus. You'd think Jesus would be irritated. Can you guys give me a break? We came all the way here to get away from you. Instead, Jesus shows compassion. He has compassion. Sometimes we feel guilty because we just keep praying for the same things. I don't feel well. Jesus has compassion. He had compassion on the crowds. And as we read this morning, he turns to one of his disciples and says, where are we going to get enough food to feed these people? And of course, you know what Jesus then did. He multiplied the bread and the fish, and he fed the crowds. He gave them literal bread. Now, But then we saw in verse 26 and following, the next night, or that night, the disciples leave. They get in a boat. Jesus has gone off on his own. Okay, because the crowds were so thankful, they were tempted to make Jesus king. The disciples get in the boat. They leave during the night. Jesus then walks across the water. And so in the morning comes, the crowd discovers Jesus is gone. So they get in boats and they go back over to Capernaum. And this is what Jesus says in verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. In other words, Jesus is saying, when I cast out demons, when I healed people, when I fed you, I multiplied the fish and the loaves, those were signs. Jesus says, those are signs that I am the one sent from the Heavenly Father. And he says, it's good that you're following me, but you're not following me because you recognize that I'm the one sent by the Father. You're following me because you just want free bread. Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Again, it's not wrong to want bread. Jesus just taught us to pray every day. Lord, give us each day our daily bread. But Jesus says there's more to life than just food and drink. You know, elsewhere he says, don't worry about your clothes, what it is you're to wear. Don't worry about your food. There's more to life than that. He says, work for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. They say, well, what work is this we got to do? How do we do that? Jesus says, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Jesus said, yeah, I fed you because you were hungry and you needed food. But it was more than just that. This was a sign that I am the one sent from God. I'm the one sent from the Father. And what you most need to do is believe on me. More important than filling your belly. And obviously, we need physical food, but even more than that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sent from God the Father. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Of course, he's referring back to the manna in the wilderness, and the people thought of how Moses gave the manna. And Jesus said, well, Moses didn't give the manna. Moses was leading the people, but God, the Father, gave the manna. He says the true bread comes from the Father who is in heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He says the real bread that you need to worry about is a person. It's Jesus who came down from heaven. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So he's using this image of bread, that staple, that basic, the diet, that thing that they ate because they needed it to survive. And he says, I'm the real bread. I'm the bread that's come down from heaven. I'm the real manna. I'm what you need for life. You know, if you don't eat, you're going to die. Jesus says, if you don't have me, you have no life within you. Verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This, meaning his body, his self, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh. We saw last week that Jesus fulfills the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's Jesus who enjoys, I mean, he's the only begotten Son of God. And even in his incarnation, he alone truly enjoyed that relationship of a son to his Father. Jesus alone is the truly who said, not my will, but yours be done. It was Jesus alone who truly sought the honor and the glory of the Father and the coming of his kingdom, who put God the Father's glory above his own and the kingdom of God above his own personal desires. Christ came to, as it were, fulfill the Lord's Prayer. And he gave his body on the cross to pay for our sin, to make atonement for us, so that you and I could be brought in, that we could be forgiven, and we could be adopted, we could be children of God. God might be our heavenly Father. That's more important than just having something in your stomach. I mentioned earlier in our call to worship that Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. A knock and the door will be open. For him who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be open to you. And that Jesus, in that passage in Matthew, goes on to say, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Okay, that's in Matthew. But we're going to see later, in a few weeks, Jesus says something very similar in Luke. You know, good teachers repeat themselves. And, of course, Jesus often taught to different people at different times. So he often said similar things. Well, we'll see in Luke that Jesus says the very similar thing. He says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. For him who asks receives, him who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be open. And then Jesus says, for if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now in Matthew, he says, give good things, saying you can pray for anything, all kind of things. God gives you good things. But later in Luke, he says, God, the Heavenly Father, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. The idea here is that when you pray for what you need, you're praying for what you need to glorify the Father this day. I mean, isn't it striking when Jesus specifically said, give us this day our daily bread? We get so overwhelmed. We live in the information age. We receive more news and more concerns and more things to worry about than ever before. And the Lord's Prayer reminds us we are just children, and we can't think about all that stuff. You know, God is different. God is eternal. God is omniscient. You know, some argue God is above time. You know, God knows all things. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You and I are not. We are little children, and we can't handle all that. And all we can say is, Lord, please give me what I need today. I'm not going to claim to earn it. I'm not going to claim to deserve it. I'm just asking as a gift. Please, Lord, grant me what I need to glorify you today. Please, Lord, grant me what I need to advance your kingdom today. Well, this is what Jesus says in our text. Beginning in verse 53, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, what he's saying here is they depended on bread. That wasn't a treat. That wasn't a snack. They depended on that for life. He says, unless you depend upon the Lord Jesus and his death, you have no spiritual life within you. Whoever feeds on my flesh, that is, if you learn to trust in that, depend upon Jesus and what he did on the cross, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. I mentioned last week that if you're just trusting that you're a good person, you know, you come to church, or you used to go to church, you come to church sometimes, or you read your Bible sometimes, or you pray sometimes. If that's what you're depending on, I'm not as bad as some people. That is some weak food. I'm going to get myself in trouble with the, I don't know if there's a celery commission out there, but, you know, some people try to encourage you to eat healthy, and that's good, but you can't live off celery, right? That's no offense to the celery growers of the world, but you can't live off that. That's not real. Rabbit food, that's not real food. If you're trying to feed off of and depend on how good you are, that's not going to feed you. That's not going to keep you alive. It's not going to sustain you. That's not real food. Jesus says, my body is real food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In other words, when you eat bread, when you eat food, it goes into your body and it's inside of you and it gives you strength and it's part of who you are. Jesus says, when you trust in him, when you depend on him, he says, I abide in you. He will dwell in you. How are you going to honor the Father when things are not going your way? Because there are days when things are not going your way. And how are you going to honor the Father when God is not giving you the things that you had hoped for? When your schedule isn't falling into play, how are you going to advance the kingdom when everything seems to be going wrong? You need the Holy Spirit. You need this Jesus Christ dwelling within you. Jesus says, I'm the real bread. I'm the real source of life and strength. And if you feed on me, I will abide in you. That's what he says. seek, knock. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give His Spirit to those who ask? So when you pray, ask for whatever you want. But make sure you ask also for what you need. And in particular, pray for what you need each day to glorify the Father and advance His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, we often, well, we think too much of ourselves. We take on too much. We worry about too much. We think too highly of ourselves, and we take on too much, and we get overwhelmed, and we think too little of You. Help us to remember that we're just little children, but we're Your children. We're not orphans. We're Your children. We're loved. Help us to think great thoughts of You. You are a great Heavenly Father. You can do all things. Nothing is impossible with You. Lord, help us. Teach us to pray. And to pray to You as our Heavenly Father who loves us, who knows all that we need, who always gives us what we need, and who delights to give good gifts to us, Lord. Teach us to pray and grant us what we need so that we might glorify You and advance and serve Your kingdom. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.